Well, someone asked me, how did you enjoy your first night here on the campground? And that kind of goes with, how did you sleep? And I don't remember. So I guess that's a good thing. It was a good night. And I feel like we had a great service last evening, and just looking forward to what God has in store for us tonight, with Reverend Huddleston coming on board to be our speaker tonight, and then also tomorrow morning, and then I'll be back up tomorrow night. And look forward to tomorrow night. I'll be sharing God's story that happens to have my name attached to it, which would be a testimony. So look forward to bringing that to you tomorrow evening. I believe in the direction that I'm heading for a few of our morning services together is to look at a particular person in Scripture. And this morning, I'm so glad you're here to help me get this started. And feel free to tell me later that this is something that you're hoping that we'll continue to dive into and do more of, because there's a lot to unpack here and not just in one place. And so I want to talk about the disciple known as Peter. And I want us to see here maybe even a reflection that would help us see that no matter what we have done, where we've lived, God has always and will always have the final word. And no matter what you've done or said in your life, there is, believe me, more than hope that is found in a life with Jesus, that he can take someone so wretched and so wrong and so sinful and yet make something amazing happen with their life, change their life, and live a life that gives God the glory and impacts many people for Jesus. And I believe we see that this morning in the life of Peter. Father, I thank you for allowing us to gather in on a beautiful, beautiful day, this Saturday morning. And Father, I pray that we've come in with our hearts open, our minds ready to receive as well. And that as we get into your word this morning, your word, of course, gets into us. It changes us. It convicts us. It solidifies in what we believe and who we are as disciples of Jesus. So Holy Spirit, come and open us as we receive now from you. And in Jesus' strong name we pray, amen. I invite you to find Matthew chapter 26 to begin with today. Matthew chapter 26, and then we're going to be heading over to the book of Acts in a few moments. Matthew 26, and starting with verse 31, and then we'll be going toward Acts 2. The Bible reads here in verse 31, "Then Jesus said to them, 'You will all become deserters because of me this night. For it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. But after I am raised up, I will go ahead of you to Galilee.' And Peter said to him, 'Though all become deserters because of you, I will never desert you.' Jesus said to him, "Truly I tell you, this very night, before the cock crows, you will deny me 3 times." And Peter said to him, "Even though I must die with you, I will not deny you." And so said all the disciples. We sometimes point out Peter being the one. He's vocalized it. He's the one that's quoted in Matthew. I think it's almost kind of fun that Matthew doesn't even mention himself by name in this. But he does mention, and I don't want us to forget and highlight here, "And so said all the disciples." Said what? "Even though I will not deny you." But Jesus made a prediction on Peter's life that evening. "This very night, Peter, this very night, before morning, before the cock crows to declare morning has arrived, you will have denied me not once, not twice, but 3 times. And you head over to verse 69 of chapter 26 of Matthew. "Now Peter was sitting outside in the courtyard. A servant girl came to him and said, 'You also were with Jesus the Galilean.' But he denied it before all of them, saying, 'I do not know what you are talking about.' When he went out to the porch, another servant girl saw him, and she said to the bystanders, 'This man was with Jesus of Nazareth.' And again, he denied it with an oath, 'I do not know the man.' After a little while, there's some bystanders came up and said to Peter, 'Certainly you are also one of them, for your accent betrays you.' Then he began to curse, and he swore an oath, 'I do not know the man.' At that moment, the cock crowed. Then Peter remembered what Jesus had said, 'Before the cock crows, you will deny me 3 times. Now, the Gospel of Luke 22, verse 61, actually says, "And the Lord turned and looked at Peter." That moment, can you imagine denying Jesus 3 times, just as was predicted? The cock crows and you turn and Jesus sees you and your eyes meet. The ending of verse 75 in the chapter of Matthew 26 ends, "And he went out and wept bitterly." We may think that that's the final chapter of Peter, but it's not. There is something that Jesus also predicted would happen. He would leave, but he would send one who would come. He would be the comforter. And because of his coming, Jesus predicted, "You will do even greater works than I." Jesus, of course, is telling them about the Holy Spirit that's coming. And about the part that kind of makes us feel uncomfortable at times. "You will do even greater works than I." How can we do that? The Holy Spirit is in all of us. All of us. And there's something that is happening as Jesus has now ascended. His death and resurrection completed. And when the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. You know, and suddenly from heaven there was a sound like a rush of violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as a fire appeared upon them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit, began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. And don't miss this. There were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at this sound, the crowd gathered and was bewildered because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? How is it that we hear each of us in our own native language?" Notice they're not getting this. They're not believing. All were amazed and perplexed. Verse 12, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others sneered and said, "They are filled with new wine." Now, before you start to think that all I do is preach about wine, this is another instance here where it is talking about that they just don't believe what they're seeing and what they're hearing. But verse 14, oh my, verse 14, but Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them. I want to hold us up here for a few moments this morning, because this is the same guy that back in Matthew 26 denied Jesus three times, even though he said he wouldn't do it. He did. And we sometimes would think if someone would do that to Jesus, they've ruined it. That's it. But there was another prediction that Jesus made with Peter. He changed his name, Simon to Peter. Peter Petros, meaning rock. And on you, I will do what? I will build my church. And this is exactly what is about to happen. The same guy who denied Jesus three times, as was predicted, is now the same guy standing, raising, and addressing the crowd that have gathered on the day of Pentecost, the day of the birth of the church. And this is not, even though it is, it's not really the same guy named Peter, who left the courtyard weeping bitterly when Jesus and his eyes met after the cock crowed, finalizing the prediction of you denying Jesus, Peter, three times. Now this same guy, Peter, standing. There's some things here that I have recently discovered that I am really excited about delivering to you this morning. And if you already know this, please don't disrupt my finding this out now, because this has literally changed me and kind of set some things on fire for me. Sometimes I think we take for granted the Word of God. That we read it. Sometimes, I pray not, but I'm praying that we quit doing this. We just read the Bible. So in case someone asks if we're reading the Bible, we can say we are, but we can't remember what we've read. We're passing through Scripture. We're reading things almost like hurriedly. I believe in what I call the sit and soak method. Sit and soak a while in the Word of God. Park yourself there and immerse yourself in just a few scriptures. And watch all that comes out of that. There is so much. That's why they call it the living Word of God. There is so much there. And in these days, it seems like I cannot personally get enough. I'm recently now working through a new Bible. Maybe this is for somebody here. You get used to one translation and you get so used to it, but you go to another translation and you start reading and you get yourself a new Bible and you start going in that Bible and you start reading passages sometimes it becomes a whole new world to you. I've got to make a confession for you this morning. I really like nachos. Oh, good. I hear revival's going to break out. And the thing about nachos is, it's got melted cheese. I know the big fan. So I like the cheese dip. I like the nachos. But here's something a little bit different that I don't care if you don't agree with this or not, but I really, really do believe that the best nachos are the ones that have soaked up in the cheese for a while, and they kind of dangle. Not the hard, crusty nacho chips. You got cheese on it and crunch, crunch, crunch. No, I like for it to sit for a while. And when we go to a Mexican restaurant as a family, we like getting that queso cheese dip there, and we like to get our chips. And my wife and I, Arlene, we've been married 34 years, and I'm telling you what, we have made this a priority in our marriage that when we get that queso cheese dip, we take the chips and we just put them around in that bowl, just putting them in there, sitting around the bowl. We call it the hot tub. And we just put those little chips there, and they're like sitting there like they're in a hot tub. And that hot cheese is getting to those chips, and you let them sit and soak for a while, and then you grab them up, and oh my. I'm telling you, they're going to be served at the marriage supper of the Lamb. I really do believe that. I'm not highly favored of it. And we were out with our daughters and our son, and we were having the queso cheese dip, and we put them around the hot tub. And I said, this reminds me of a sermon. And my girls go, Dad, everything reminds you of a sermon. And of course, one of them spoke up and said, Dad, how? How is these chips soaking? I said, this is the way we should be in the Word of God. And one of them said, oh, Dad, really? Oh, yeah, really, we should be sitting and soaking in the Word of God, not getting out so quickly, not reading it so quickly. Sit and soak in the Word of God. And I pray that anytime you see now, from now on, nachos, queso, cheese dip, and chips, you're going to think, I need to soak and sit in the Word. Here's what I mean by that. When you slow down and look and see what's happening here with Peter. I can't get it out of my mind. Yes, he's the same guy that denied Jesus three times, but now he is full of the Holy Spirit. This is not the same guy. He's standing. And that word standing is used something like 154 times. I think this is the 155th time it's mentioned in Scripture. But if you just let me geek out for a minute, okay, about what this word is saying, this one word, this verb is in what they would call the form of a participle. Hold on with me. It acts like an adverb that's giving content to the two main verbs that follow. It's in the passive voice, and all that means this, that one word. The subject is not responsible for the action, but is receiving the action from the verb, which means this: when it says that Peter is standing, it's really not Peter who is standing. It is talking about the Holy Spirit is actually inside Peter, helping him stand. He is standing in the Holy Spirit, full of the Holy Spirit. This is so important. If you pray for your pastor, which I pray that you do, my prayer for you to pray for your pastor would be, pray that when he stands up tomorrow morning to declare God's word, that it's not him standing. It's not her standing. They are standing in the power of the Holy Spirit, and the words they're about to declare is not their words. It is the very words of God. Also, pray for your pastor on Sunday afternoon. That's the hardest time to be a pastor. Now, why would Sunday afternoon be bad? I pastored for a while. I know Sunday afternoons are bad because you begin to go through your message and it's like, oh, I forgot to say this. And I should have said it this way. Did I really say it that way? Where did that come from? I hadn't thought about that all week. I actually had this thing written out and underlined and highlighted and circled, and I didn't even say that. Why didn't I say that? And the enemy comes on Sunday afternoon and try to dismantle everything that happened Sunday morning. That's how quick. Shock your pastor tomorrow and write them a text message in the afternoon praying for you. But Peter standing with the 11. Okay. There's a history here that continues on because in Acts 4, there's a knight in jail, and he's brought before the council, and he's trying to explain the miracle of the previous chapter. And it says there, I think in Acts 3:7, it just says, Peter is full of the Holy Spirit. Maybe it's, let me make sure. I don't want to quote and be wrong. My goodness, it's 4:8. Peter filled with the Holy Spirit. It's a message from another source. Peter speaking, but the Holy Spirit's using him. Peter standing, filled with the Holy Spirit, filled with a boldness that he has never had in this way before. Raised his voice. Raised. It is to lift up. God takes control of Peter's voice. And it says, address them. It may, in your Bible, it may say just the word said. And the way that word said is written here is only three times in the entire New Testament, and it's written every time in the book of Acts. Dr. Luke uses it. It is a divine utterance in chapter 2, verse 4. Paul is actually defending his heavenly vision before the King Festus in Acts 26, where he says, I'm not crazy, but I speak the words of truth and reason. It means to speak out loudly, clearly, with emphasis. It's sort of kind of a used connection with the prophets when they spoke the word of the Lord. It wasn't actually them speaking. So we get the words here, standing, raised, and said. And this combo is not used anywhere else in the entire Bible. That's what I got from sitting and soaking in this thing for a while, my friend. This utterance, the thing that's happening right here in this one verse of Peter standing, raising his voice, addressing the crowd, never in the Bible, again, it is before or after it's written, it is talking about the indwelt Christ here is demanding a new style of communication. The Holy Spirit has come and has taken over. And how I pray in my own life that the Holy Spirit would come and just take over. We need a visitation of the Holy Spirit like we've never had before. Amen. We need preaching on the Holy Spirit like we've never heard before. Our world is needing to see authenticity in someone who calls themselves a disciple of Jesus. You do not muster that on your own. It comes from a life that is hidden in Christ, given to Christ, died out completely to his will and to his way. We're not playing with sin. We're not dabbling in it. We don't applaud it. We don't get entertained by it. We are Jesus people, loving people. But loving how he is speaking to us. We can't wait to get in his presence in our own prayer time. We cannot wait to get into his word. Because it is impacting our life. It is impacting our thoughts. It's impacting our relationships. It's impacting everything that we're doing. This is Peter. Peter is changed. This is the same guy who denied Jesus 3 times. And you don't think Jesus can use you? How many people in their life has denied Jesus by a talk or by an action, and they just kind of give up on the whole thing and say, I can't do this. And you know what? You are exactly right. You can't do it because that's been the problem. You've been doing it all on your own accord, in your own strength. Oh, I'm going to whip this. I'm going to do this. Oh, man, I'm going to continue to do this because I just can't quit. I guess it's just going to be my nature from here on out. Oh, my goodness. You have tried it all on yourself. Give yourself fully to the Lordship of Jesus and allow the Holy Spirit to fill you through and through. I want you to live in victory every single day of your life. Yes, you're going to have bad news from the doctor. Yes, there's going to be tragedies that still come. Yes, there's going to be things that will happen. But my friend, above it all and through it all, there is a peace that will come because of your relationship with the one who gave himself for you, Jesus. Our oldest daughter, Jacqueline, 23 now, and we kind of noticed around 12 years old, she would just pass out. My first Sunday at the last pastor that I had, before entering full-time itinerant evangelism again 4 years ago in May of 21. It was my first Sunday. District superintendent's there. He has all of our family up the front. He's introducing us. And Jackie goes down. She fell right between the altars. Dr. Rogers says, is there a nurse? Six people got up. I thought, well, I'm in the right place to pastor. There's six nurses in the crowd. They come and take Jacqueline, and I got to preach that morning. I don't know what's going on with her. They have her in the foyer. I can't even tell you what I preached that morning. I don't remember. We thought it was hypoglycemia. Her mom had that growing up. So we kind of wrote it off as the blood sugar thing. While we were in Georgia, it kept going. Went to the doctor about it. Jackie, we call her Jackie, she's had a heart monitor on for a month while we were there. Of course, we make this move. We now live in Florida. Go back to the doctor because now she's working and it's happening at work. Every 3 or 4 months, she can feel it coming on. She just goes down. They come, the paramedics come, prick her finger, put the heart stuff on her at that moment. Everything's normal. Finally, we had a doctor say, we need to get an MRI. And the MRI showed that her cerebellum, the back of her brain there, was too big for her head. I guess that's why she's so smart. It had fallen down on top of her spine. Doctor said, I have someone she needs to see. He actually deals with people in Jackie's condition. He's one of the best there is in the entire nation. Well, that's who we want to see. That'd be great. Where is he at? Oh, he's here in Lakeland. He's from Sweden. And if he's not at Harvard teaching this procedure, he's here in Lakeland doing it. So what is it? It's Chiari deformation. And they would literally have to go in and raise her brain back up in place. And because of the compression on her spine, it was causing her back to be sore all the time. The first vertebrae had now crushed down into the second. So back in December 12th, Jackie went in for the 3.5-hour surgery to move the brain back up and to shave off the first vertebrae, take it completely off. I didn't know how Jackie would respond to this type of surgery. Jackie's strong in her faith. I want you to know this. I could be sitting in the living room when I'm home and I can hear Jackie. I thought she was on the phone with somebody. She was reading her devotion out loud. And I just immediately thought, boy, I bet that night before surgery is not going to be good around here. Of course, I was home. We got up early the next morning to get her going to surgery. I had to ask, Jackie, how did you sleep last night? She said, Dad, I was out. It helped us when we put it on social media what kind of surgery she was having, because people we didn't even know had this background. We know the people, we didn't know this background. My daughter had this surgery. My son had this surgery. My sister had this surgery. And Jackie began to see that this wasn't so uncommon. There was other people who've had it, which helped her to realize they're okay. And then, I've never been through anything like this. I've always been the pastor or the evangelist that's been at the hospital to pray with somebody. And now we were on the other side of this where people were praying for us. And I can tell you that's where the peace came from. the peace that we had. And she went back to the doctor back in April after this successful surgery in December, and the doctor said, "Jackie, I usually see someone in your condition every 6 months. I'll see you next year." Praise the Lord. You know what her question was to the doctor? "How soon can I ride roller coasters?" That would not be my question. My question at a theme park is, "Where's the exit? I will meet you there." He said, "You're free to ride whatever you want to ride. You've never been stronger. Because, Jackie, there's something within you that's making you stronger." Peter, there's something within you that's making you stronger. Peter, it's not even you standing. It's not even you raising your voice. It's not even you addressing the people. You're just a conduit. You're just a vessel. I, the Holy Spirit, am just going to pour through you, and I'm going to use you. And the very words he says is, "Men of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known." The way that's written means this is not optional. It's absolutely necessary. You know, the first step to transformation is self-awareness. I love this. "Listen to what I say. Know this. Know it certainly, its certainty. Know it securely. Know it absolutely. Indeed, these are not drunk as you suppose, for it's only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel." You understand what's happening here? The Holy Spirit filling Peter, and the very first words out of Peter's mouth is really not actually from Peter. It's from the Word of God. "In the last days, it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. And your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall see dreams, even upon my slaves, both men and women. In those days," I'm going to stop here because I will pour out my Spirit. I only got a few verses. I'll keep going. "And they shall prophesy. And I will show portents in the heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and smoke mist. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." I'm not spoiling anything for you because you already know in verse 41, "Those who welcomed his message," didn't say everybody, "those who welcomed his message were baptized. And that day, about 3,000 people were added." Isn't it something that God would take a man who denied Jesus 3 times, fill him with the power and unction of the Holy Spirit to reach 3,000. in one setting on the first day of the church. That's just like God. Peter now burns with the truth. There's no room for casual walk with Jesus. There's no room for lukewarmness. There's no room for nominal Christianity here. He's literally on fire for the Lord. And it just wasn't for one day of emotion. Peter was changed from the inside out. He went from a denier to a testifier. From denying Jesus at a fire and to praising Jesus with fire. I don't know about you, but I'm ready for some nachos and cheese. Oh, how I pray that through our Bible study this week in Ephesians, I don't know if it's Ephesians all week, through times that we're coming together for morning and evening services, oh, how I pray there will be times, personal times for you alone, wherever you may be on this campground or off, that you would sit and soak in His presence, in His Word. And if there's something about your past you just can't get over it. As far as the east is from the west, He has thrown your transgressions out. They're gone. You can't forget them because the enemy of your soul doesn't want you to forget it. Forget it. Move on. Sit and soak. If He can use Peter, oh, Jesus, I love you so much. I'll never deny you. He did. They didn't give up on Him, did they? Here He is, full of the Holy Spirit, standing, raised, said, uses Peter in a way that no individual had ever been used in Scripture before or since. Here is a new way of communication. The Holy Spirit will speak through you. May you sense that fullness in your life this morning. And if you're not where you should be in that fullness, as Dr. Dennis Kinlaw, who has preached here before, I am sure, used to say, if you still have your index finger on a part of your heart, remove it. Let Him have it all. Amen. Would you stand with me, please? Ron, you may have a song for us here. Father, I thank You for speaking to us this morning. And there may be some friends here that may want to come and pray. They may want to come and pray for their church, their pastor. They may want to come and pray for this camp meeting this week. They may come on behalf of someone or maybe for themselves to say, Lord, I need to slow down. I need to sit and soak. And I pray this week you allow God to do that in your life. No pressure here. If no one comes, this doesn't dismantle the service. I always want to give people opportunity to come and pray. So, Father, as we sing, you want to come and pray, we'll have a closing prayer together. Worthy, thou art worthy, art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory, glory and honor, honor and power, for thou hast created, hath all things created, for hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are created. Thou art worthy, O Lord. Father, continue to be with us throughout this beautiful day. We look forward to times of fellowship and the service this evening. We pray for our friend Reverend Billy Huddleston as he drives in today and as he brings the word to us tonight. May we come ready to accept, receive. We thank you, Lord, for meeting with us today already. In the strong name of Jesus, we pray. Everyone said, amen. God bless you. See you tonight. Praise the Lord, brother. Appreciate you. Any word from Matt? Everything okay? Things all right?
So, just shared